Many of the wetlands that we enjoy today were saved because of the work of dedicated people decades ago. Today you'll meet one of the people we're calling a champion of the bay. This is Your Wetlands.
Well, it was in the late 60s, and I had become aware, living in the South Bay, that terrible things were happening here. There were garbage dumps on tidal marsh, salt ponds being made out of tidal marsh so that there was no more marsh, sewer outfalls, all kinds of things that show you don't give a darn about where you're living. And the people got aware of that, and the people themselves started to care about the bay.
Florence La Revere is one of the people who has worked tirelessly to protect the bay. I spoke to Florence on a hill above the marsh, which is named the La Revere Marsh, located at the Don Edwards National Wildlife Refuge in Newark.
I personally was sitting having a second cup of coffee and reading the San Jose Mercury News, late 1960s, and here was this little column that said, "If you're worried about what's going on in the bay, come to my office tomorrow at 10 a.m. And it was put there by a man named Arthur Ogilvy, a planner from Santa Clara County. And he had had this idea. There were maybe 20 or 30 people that showed up that day. And he said, there's one thing we might be able to do to preserve what we have left there. And that would be get the federal government to establish a national wildlife refuge. That was the beginning.
So at that moment, what we're actually seeing here had not been preserved. Do you remember what it looked like or what was here?
It looked a good deal like what it looks like now, but the salt company that owned these ponds for the commercial production of salt, solar evaporation, had planned a city of 60,000 people right there under this cliff. 60,000. And in the pond across the bay, another city, the salt company had great plans for development in these ponds.
So what we need to be doing is imagining 60,000 people living in what we are now actually looking at.
That's right. Without the establishment of the refuge, there would be huge development here. You can imagine what the local traffic would be like if we hadn't made the effort then to obtain this for the people.
Take me through some of the next steps here. So in other words, you happen to be having your second cup of coffee, and you happen to see this little announcement that said, come to my office, and you went there, and this person had an idea of how to make this into a National Wildlife Refuge. What happened next?
What happened next was that we started meeting regularly and tossing around between ourselves what our worries were about what was happening here and what we could do. And then we did a really important thing. We went to the office of our congressman, Donlin Edwards, who had been eventually, before and after that time, served 33 years before he retired a few years ago. And he just took on with enthusiasm what we were trying to do. He realized that he didn't want to destroy what was beautiful left on the South Bay either. It was a wonderful collaboration between the people and a member of Congress with great feeling for the same thing, for the future of what we left here. Our wonderful wildlife that's so diminished by what we had done would have a chance to come back as it does now. You look down in the sloughs here that we're looking at, and you'll see the head of a harbor seal floating along, and you'll realize we do have wildlife left and we can continue to keep it.
How long did it take from those early meetings to when it really was preserved as a National Wildlife Refuge?
I think Mr. Edwards dropped the bill into the hopper at the Congress for 4 or 5 years. And in 1972, it did pass into law and was signed by President Nixon. So that's when the refuge was established. But as time went by, we realized we didn't have the diversity of habitat represented in what we had acquired. We had mainly the ponds, and we needed seasonal wetlands and adjoining wetlands and uplands as well. So we started the whole thing over again in 1985, back with Mr. Edwards again, to say to Congress, we got this fine refuge with the possibility of 20,000 acres to be restored, but it's not nearly enough. We have to do it all over again. We need another 20,000 acres. And Mr. Edwards did the same thing. we went to all the cities around the bay and the counties and got people from clubs and environmental groups to say, yes, that's right, to realize and state their view that we needed this land. And so the next time, it was 1988, Mr. Edwards submitted his bill, and the first year it passed into law. That was a great triumph. That's why we were able to get the lands we are now, that you hear about and read about in the paper, the acquisition that we just made that can be a glorious gift to the people that follow us here. Wherever you live, wherever you are, you have the obligation of preserving the wildlife and the wild places, the wildlife that we share this earth with. No matter where you are or what stage of life you're in, you can contribute. You can go to officials and say, we want these lands kept. We want our children to see what animals lived here. The other thing is, looking to the future, we have not finished what we started here. As long as there are people who care, who inform the public by what other means, that we have a need for what is possible to be restored, to be acquired for us, the people, then that's the message that would seem worthwhile to me.
And I guess part of that message has to do with the fact that even when you have a wonderful idea, it still takes time to execute, to implement. And in this case, it's taken decades with further work still to be done. So people have to recognize that in many cases, they need to be at this in the long term, and they need to encourage others who come after you to also participate.
I think that you've stated what's the most important message from what I have learned over the years. You need to recognize what you have. You need to fight by whatever means you have. And then you need to be persistent, because it can get very discouraging. If you give up, you lose all chance of acquiring what you can achieve if you stick with it. And it's often years and years.
Were you professionally a wildlife biologist, a scientist?
No. Both my husband and I got interested in the bay without any professional background. He's a physicist, I'm a nurse. But we just realized that it was wrong. We watched dredge spoil being dumped on tidal marsh in the town where we lived. And we thought, that just doesn't look right. It's a beautiful habitat, and it's being smothered. So
you didn't have any specific professional background?
We didn't, no. We tried to educate ourselves, however. I would advise people that want to get involved in the preservation of some kind of habitat to know what they're talking about. Actually, I went to San Jose State at night because there were courses given there on the bay. It helps. You need the understanding and the caring first. But all the knowledge that you can acquire helps you at the political level.
Florence, how was the effort to create the refuge organized?
The first organization had a lengthy name that I can't even say today. It was something like the South Bay Save the Wetlands and Establish a National Wildlife Refuge Committee. In 1985, when we formed again, we chose Citizens Committee to complete the refuge, and we've kept that name. We meet every month, which I recommend to people that form a group with an environmental goal in mind. Keep yourselves together. Keep yourselves informed. Every month we write to everybody in the group. We meet every month because there are always little problems. Wetlands are never saved until they're actually placed in federal ownership and until they are signed over to the government for wildlife habitat protection. Some of these ponds are owned by us, you and me and the people in this country, but they are still managed for salt production. They're not managed for the wildlife protection. So it takes a long time and effort on the part of the public to keep looking at what they have acquired for the time when they can actually be taken over by the biologists.
I'm also curious about you as an individual and the roots of your interest in the natural world. Where did that come from?
I think in my case, an interest in protecting the natural world does go back to childhood. My mother and father bought us bird books and tree books and took us out to ponds. I can remember terrorizing pollywogs, bringing them home in coffee cans. But I don't know how that leads into a lot of persistence in older years. I don't really know I think there are just some people that say, this is not a good thing and we should do something about it. And they don't give up. You have to feel some reward, I think. And the preservation of wetlands in the South Bay has been tremendously rewarding. You can look at the places where there are plenty of animals, birds, fish, mammals, the little mice we have in the bay. And you can say those things wouldn't be there if people didn't care enough about them. And we don't have any right to destroy what we share the earth with. As far as personal persistence goes, I think it does depend on a family, and I personally have had a most supportive family. Kids that will, I think in their old age, will be doing just what my husband and I are doing.
One last thing. People are talking now about how we adapt to climate change. You mentioned about this area, there's some acreage that you'd want to include here to be able to absorb the impacts of climate change. And by preserving this sort of area, we have a better potential to adapt to change as we look forward.
Years ago, we had some inkling that there were changes in the climate that might result in the rise of sea level in the bay. And of course, it's become very clear now that it's a genuine fear. But it just gives us more impetus than ever to fight for those fringe areas, those upland areas that will be there with a moderate rise in sea level. It's more important than ever now that those areas that we have left be acquired now.
This concludes our interview with Florence La Revere, one of our champions of the Bay. This series will continue throughout the summer, and if you have a champion of the Bay to recommend, please write to us at yourwetlands@gmail.com. Again, that's yourwetlands@gmail.com. Our Your Wetlands podcast is a project of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture. To learn more, you can visit them online at sfbayjv.org. And we're supported by grants from the California Coastal Conservancy and PG&E. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jerry Kaye.